This is the Ingles Information Aisle with Leah McGrath, helping you eat healthy, feel great, and understand your nutrition. Now, here's your host, Ingles dietitian Leah McGrath.
Good Saturday morning and welcome to the Ingles Information Aisle. This is Leah McGrath, your Ingles dietitian. And today we're going to be talking about kind of staying healthy and being fit and what your food choices are after you turn 50. And this is especially relevant to me and to my husband as we're both over 50. And I bet there are a lot of people who are listening today who are over 50 years old, and you are going to want to maybe grab a pencil, a piece of paper, so you can jot some notes down about the conversation I'm going to have with Chris Rosenblum. And Chris is a registered dietitian nutritionist just like me, and she's joining us. I don't know where you are, Chris. Where are you?
I'm in Hartwell, Georgia.
Hartwell, Georgia. And that's right. You are a loyal Ingles shopper because you have a lovely Ingles in Hartwell, Georgia, right?
That is correct. It Yay. Is my favorite grocery store.
Thank you. And I know that when my voice comes on at Ingles, you've said to me that you have a tendency to talk back to me. Is that right?
I do. And my sister, who also lives in Hartwell, had mentioned that, you know, she hears your voice all the time. And she said, "Do you know her?" And I said, "Of course I do. She's famous.
I am a real person."
We took a picture together once at a meeting so I could show it to my sister.
And I've known Chris for a long time. I think, Chris, I've known you for at least 10 years, I think.
I think it's been
something like that. Yeah. So can you give everybody sort of your elevator pitch about who you are and your background as a registered dietitian nutritionist?
Sure. Well, as you mentioned, Leah, I am a registered dietitian nutritionist, and I was a nutrition professor at Georgia State University in Atlanta for 30 years. And in that time, I did consulting for all of the athletes at Georgia State, and before that, I worked with Georgia Tech athletes. So I have a 25-plus year history working with athletes in sports nutrition. But my graduate training was in gerontology, or the study of aging.
I
always taught health and aging as one of my classes. So I loved that, too. So I said to myself, when I retired from the university, I'm going to bring those two loves together, and I'm going to write a book about food and fitness for people as they're getting older. And that's how it came together. So the idea has been brewing for a long time. And then I found a wonderful co-author, Dr. Bob Murray, who is an exercise physiologist, to handle the exercise and the hydration piece, because that's his specialty. And that's how it came together.
Wow. Is this your first book, or have you written other books?
It's my first book that I've written.
I've edited
books before. I've edited the sports nutrition book for the practice group of sports dietitians for the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics. But it's the first time I've ever written my own book. And it's a lot easier writing your own book than having to rely on 20 different authors for chapters.
Oh, how exciting. And how long did it take you and Bob Murray to kind of pull this book together?
It probably was about a two-year process.
Okay.
You know, we spent a lot of time going back and forth deciding what it should look like and what the format would be. And one of the things that we wanted it to be was it didn't have to be a linear read. You know, you didn't have to read it like a novel cover to cover. If you were just interested in, you know, myths about strength training, you know, you could go to that section. Or if you just were interested in the commonly asked questions about dietary supplements, you could go to that. So we tried to write it in a way that was very I'll say user-friendly.
Yes, I would agree. And we're going to be talking about some of those segments of the aspects of the book that I found really, really readable and very enjoyable as well. And so we want to make sure we mention the book is called Food and Fitness After 50. There's a lot of F's going on there.
Yeah, so there's a lot of, we like alliteration.
That's right.
But it's not just, you know, I've heard people say, well, I'm in my 60s, and Bob and I are in our mid-60s, so it's really 50, 60, 70, and beyond.
Yes.
So there'll be something in there for people who are not just 50.
Yeah. And where can people find this book right now, Chris?
The easiest way to get it right now is on Amazon.
Okay.
And it is published by the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics in a consumer press division. But I think Amazon's easier and sometimes a little cheaper.
Sure. So, again, folks, go to, if you want Chris's website, first of all, we'll put that out there. So it's chrisrosenblum.com, and you can find out all about Dr. Chris Rosenblum. And if you want the book, which is, we're going to be talking more about food and fitness after 50, go to amazon.com and look for food and fitness after 50, or just put in Chris Rosenblum, and I bet it would come up for you. Mm-hmm. So, Chris, when you started writing this book about food and fitness after 50, were there times that you, was it a time of like self-evaluation for you as well?
I think it is in a way, because I was retiring from my long-standing job, and I say retire in quotes because I'm still very active and within the association as well as, you know, my consulting work. So I'm still active, but it was a time to really think about the physiological changes that happen with aging, which actually start around 40.
Sure.
So I've known that, and you know, to really think now, I really have the time to devote to a more structured exercise program, because before it was really hit and miss, you know, how it is when you're working full time, it's tougher. So I think that one of the joys of getting older is that your time is a little more your own, so you can find those times and really plan to be more active.
And I'm going to talk in the next segment, but I'll give you a lead into it, why I found this book so timely is I was out last week traveling with one of our buyers, and he's a couple years younger than me. So I'm 50. Wait, I think I just turned 56. I have to think sometimes, Chris, how old am I? And our buyer is 54, and he was telling me that we were talking about, you know, aging. And he said, you know, I went to a school reunion, and it was amazing to see some people looked great, you know, and some people looked 10 and 15 years older. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we know that some of that is just genetics. And he actually, and he's not a dietitian, obviously, he said, you know, I think a lot of it is how some people take care of themselves, mm-hmm. and how some people don't. And I think that there's some really good aspects to your book to evaluate, sort of what you're doing now, how you feel, how you're going to keep staying healthy as you move into your 50s, 60s, mm-hmm. and 70s. Some really, really important ideas there. And one thing we'll talk about, folks, Chris makes this point in the book, what you did to stay fit in your 20s and 30s may not work when you're in your 50s and 60s, right? Stay tuned to the Ingles Information Aisle. Welcome back to the Ingles Information Aisle. This is Leah McGrath, your Ingles dietitian. I'm talking today to Dr. Christine Rosenblum, or as I've been calling her, Chris, and she and Bob Murray are authors of a new book that's called A Food and Fitness After 50, and you can find it on Amazon. And as I know, a lot of people listening to the show who listen on a regular basis on Saturday mornings are probably in their 40s and 50s. This is a great resource and tool for you. One of the things we were just talking about before we went in to break was the fact that what you did to keep fit and healthy at 20 or 30 may not work as well when you're in your 50s and 60s. So, Chris, why is that? Like, what's going on there for us?
Well, I think one of the most important things is that as we get older, we tend to lose our balance. We don't have the agility or the flexibility that we did, and we think we do. So, you know, then we try to do something like run for the bus or, you know, to run a sprint, and we find we can't do that. We may have even pulled a hamstring. So I think the idea that, you know, to start really working on all aspects of your fitness, and it doesn't have to be, you know, join a gym and work out 3 hours a day. There are lots of little things that you can do at home and, you know, from a video on your phone, where you can get more fit and be more considerate of your body as you get older. Another thing that tends to happen, we tend to start losing our muscle mass. Our weight might not change, but our body composition does. So we put on more fat, and then we lose muscle mass. And muscle mass is the driver of our metabolism. So if we can keep muscle mass up, we can often burn more calories, and that can help us maintain weight as well. So I think that those are some of the big important things that people need to think about as they're getting older.
So, yeah, that whole idea of body composition changing. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times what I found is that when people say, you know, I can't understand why I'm gaining weight, mm-hmm. you know, and when you have an interesting you have these like kind of like a self-assessment in the mm-hmm. beginning of some of your chapters mm-hmm. and it kind of it's some tough love there where yeah. you know like yeah. you're asking questions like think about your activity when you were 25 mm-hmm. you know what was your job, was an active job where you were moving a lot, how do you compare that to what you're doing now? And I think a lot of times we think, oh, you know, I don't know why I'm gaining weight. I'm actually eating less, but think about what you were doing when you were 25, you know. So that can make a big difference, right?
Yeah, and we spend a whole lot more time sitting. You know,
yes.
We sit in front of computers. We sit in front of screens. So, you know, that's one of our messages, too, is to sit less.
Yeah.
And even if it's just every hour, take a 10-minute break where you're standing up and moving around and, you know, walk the stairs in your house if
sure.
you're working from home. But do something to be more active. I think that's a key. And the other thing I always tell people, too, is monitor your weight because it's weight creep. You don't wake up 20 pounds overweight.
Sure.
You know, it didn't start that way. It's a pound or two a year. And that doesn't sound like much, but 20 years later, that can be an extra 40 pounds.
Yeah.
And so if you start monitoring it, that can be helpful. And as I always, you know, laugh is that then when you go to the doctor and the doctor weighs you, you won't have to say to him or her, your scale's wrong.
Exactly.
You won't be surprised
yes.
because you're monitoring yourself. And I think that's another key is, you know, we just need to pay more attention. Holidays are coming up. People tend to gain a little bit of weight over the holidays. Not a lot, but they don't tend to lose it come January. So it's weight creep is one of those problems. And it does get harder when you're older. I mean, hormonal changes for women, unfortunately, make us store a little bit more belly fat. And so there are some hormonal changes that contribute to that. But there's still a lot that you can do. You shouldn't just throw in the towel.
Well, no, and I think that's a great point, Chris. And we were mentioning that in break that, you know, it's never too late to improve your health. The only time it's too late is if you're dead, right?
So yeah, that's right. That's right. And, you know, we use some examples in the book, too, of a woman who's 100 years old who won the Penn Relays and broke a record for the 80 and over category.
Oh, my goodness.
And she didn't start exercising until she was 67.
Oh, wow.
So I think that gets back to, you know, sometimes people, you know, they want to be more active, but their lives are so hectic. But then when they're cutting back on their work or when they have opportunities to work from home, there might be some more time to fit that fitness in. Another thing I find is that a lot of people who are retired, if they have a supplemental plan for their Medicare, often it covers a gym membership
uh-huh.
or part of a gym membership, and they don't take advantage of it. So,
yeah.
you know, as you're going through your healthcare stuff this month, that's something to check out, too.
Well, and I think one of the other things you were talking about, exercise, you know, and I mentioned the fact that in the book it says what you did to keep in fit or lose weight when you're in 20s and 30s isn't going to work or may not work as well. You know, in their 20s and 30s, a lot of times maybe if you were a runner, maybe you're running 5Ks mm-hmm. and 10Ks, or maybe you were going to exercise classes at the gym. And as you get older, maybe those things aren't quite as appealing to you, or it's not as, it's harder on your joints. So you got to find something else that
yep.
that you can do and you enjoy doing on a regular basis. So
yeah, and I think that's a great point. And so instead of just saying, well, you know, my knees hurt or my
right.
hip hurts and I can't do it, you know, find something else. I had a hip replacement at age 62, so I was pretty young when I blew out my hip from years and years of running. And my doctor said, well, you can run, but, you know, this hip will probably last you 20, 25 years if you don't. So I thought, oh, okay, let's do the math. I don't want to
yeah.
do this again. So, you know, I started cycling, and I walk
oh.
and I cycle and I go to dance aerobics classes. So I don't do a lot of that real high-impact exercise. But there's plenty of other things that you can do to stay active, and you might find you enjoy them more than you did some of the other activities.
You know, my mom, when she was in her, probably in her early 70s. I mean, she was always very active. And, you know, she was riding her bike up until she was in her mid 70s. And I'd say, man, Mom, you're always going. You're always doing something. You're riding your bike. You're going bowling. You're volunteering. And she would say, Leah, the more I do, the more I'm able to do. And the less I do, the less I feel like doing.
Yeah, I mean, that's a really great point. And it's, you know, it's that use it or lose it.
Yes.
And so it's true, whether it's your brain or your muscles or, you know, any of anything else in your body, if you've got to keep it active and got to keep it moving.
So we're talking with Dr. Chris Rosenblum, and she and Bob Murray have written a really great, it's a very practical guide to all different aspects of food and fitness after 50, and that's the title of the book. There's some self-assessments there. There's commonly asked questions. There's myths that are busted, and we're going to talk about some of those in the next break. So whether you're interested in just maybe improving your nutritional habits and your food or your fitness, this is a great resource for you. If you're 50, if you're 60, if you're 70 years old, make sure you look for it on Amazon.com. Stay tuned to the English Information Aisle. Welcome back to the English Information Aisle. This is Leah, your English dietitian. I'm talking with Chris Rosenblum, Dr. Chris Rosenblum, and she is a registered dietitian nutritionist like me. And she was telling us about her long history in academia down in Georgia. And I know that I was down a couple, I think you invited me, or it was Missy. Missy, I went down with Missy, spoke to some classes. It's been a little while since I've been down there. But it's always fun to speak to students about nutrition and what I do as a retail dietitian. But I did not know that you had this background. Well, I knew that you did a lot with athletes, and I know even right now you volunteer and you work with the high school athletes, right?
Yep. Yeah, I do up here in Hart County High School. So.
That's awesome.
Matter of fact, I'm going to basketball practice this afternoon.
That's great. And then you have the book is called Food and Fitness After 50. And I guess the whole title is Food and Fitness After 50, Eat Well, Move Well, Be Well, right?
Yeah, that's kind of our little tagline.
Okay. And we were talking about some of the really great attributes of the book. And one of the things that I noticed is that you have sections, in each of the sections, you have myths. You address some of the common myths, and then you also address some of the commonly asked questions. So since you're the dietitian in this space, and Bob Murray is the other author, and he talks about a lot of the sports aspect of it, what are some of the myths about food that you hear from people over 50 when you're out in the community talking or when you were putting this book together?
I think the prevailing, there's many, as you know, but I think one that I get a lot is that there's a superfood. There's that one food that's going to take care of everything else in their diet.
Sure.
So that if I just eat quinoa or kale, then I can out-eat the rest of my bad diet, or I can do whatever I want and I don't have to exercise. So I think there's this, you know, because that term superfood is so wonderful sounding, there's this myth that just that one food is all you're going to do. So I try to, you know, help people understand that there's a lot of superfoods, and there's really not one, but there's a super diet.
Sure.
And so it's all what you eat. So I think that's one. I think another one that I hear a lot is just this fear that organic foods are the best, that if I'm not eating organic, I'm eating dirty pesticide, swimming in pesticide foods. And so I always try to tell people that, you know, both organic and conventionally grown produce use pesticides. They use different ones. And then the levels of pesticide residue that might be on any food is very, very minimal.
Sure.
And within tolerances from our agency. So, you know, they don't need to be afraid that they're not eating well if they can't afford to have organic food.
Yeah, I think those are really two good ones. I know another one I hear quite, and I know these are a couple that I noticed in your book too, that sugar is toxic, and that and I'll tell you what I say, and you can chime in. I say, well, you know, the word toxic is being misused in this circumstance. I mean, if you have sugar, If you're eating a lot of foods that are high in sugar, that is not a good thing for a lot of different reasons. You know, it's displacing things like fruits and vegetables, but is it going to kill you? Is it addictive? The answer is no, but there are certainly better choices. What do you say?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, I think that it's also important for them to recognize there's a difference between naturally occurring sugars.
Sure.
You know, don't not eat a yogurt because you see sugar on the label. It's,
right.
It's milk sugar. It's naturally occurring. Same thing with fruit or dried fruit. Or, you know, so
sure.
People then put this blanket approach to it. They can't eat any sugar. And then, you know, on the flip side of that, there's so many healthy-sounding sugars like agave nectar or honey or brown sugar. And then people say, well, I'm just using those instead of sugar. So, you know, I always point out, you know, that's sugar.
Yeah, it's
so
still
you
sugar.
Want to just cut back on all of it. But it isn't toxic. And if you're exercising, your muscles need sugar. They need carbohydrates. So,
well, and
you know,
speaking
you don't have to be so fearful.
Speaking of carbohydrates, I mean, one of the things that I get a lot is, well, you know, I need to lose weight, so I'm cutting out all the carbohydrates.
Right.
So what do you say how do you bust that myth, and what do you say to people?
Yeah. Well, I usually tell them that your body needs carbohydrate. It runs on carbohydrate. And that protein, yes, it can be used as a fuel, but it's a really expensive fuel.
Sure.
So why would you put a more expensive fuel in? Let that protein be used for what you want it to be used for, which is muscle building and muscle repair and cells of your immune system. And let carbohydrate do the work of providing energy. And there's so many healthful carbohydrate choices. I think what people get confused is with all the dieting.
Yeah.
And then also just that they don't understand what a portion is or how much
sure.
they should have. So they look at a smoothie, for example, and say, oh, this is so healthful, there's 100 calories, but then they forget to look at the portion size, and there's 6 servings in that bottle.
Oh, so I know.
They just sometimes don't put those two things together.
And I noticed that you had interviewed a lot of different people in this book, or you and Bob did, and I recognize some of the names. One of my favorite people, Julie Miller-Jones, is mentioned in there. I love her. So it looks like you incorporated a lot of real life stories. And what I noticed that I thought was really neat, Chris, is that you and Bob both shared your experiences in some of these areas too.
Yeah, we think that's important because that was another reason we wanted to do it. There's so much misinformation out there, and we both have science backgrounds, and we're both, you know, in our mid-60s. And we thought, well, you know, what are the things that we do? We use nutrition and food and fitness to help us stay as healthy as we can be. We know some things are going to happen once in a while, but then, you know, what can you do to stay as healthy as you can? So that was part of it. So we thought, well, we'll share some of what we do. And, you know, you mentioned that we've interviewed an expert in every chapter, and these are all people over 50 who have either done the research or are nationally known for that topic. And what I find remarkable was how consistent it was. You know, even if it was a protein expert or a carbohydrate expert or a supplement expert, you know, they were really consistent. They all exercise. They all stay active. They all eat well, but they're not real restrictive about their eating. They enjoy food.
Right.
That's important to think about as we get older.
Yeah, I agree. I think, folks, this is a great resource for you if you're 50, 60, 70, if you have a friend who really is maybe struggling with just how to feel better, how to be more fit and more healthy. This is a great book. Again, it's called Food and Fitness After 50, Eat Well, Move Well, Be Well. Find it on Amazon, Amazon.com. Find Chris's website. She's chrisrosenblum.com. You know, it's important to get accurate science-based information from experts, and I'm totally vouching for Chris because I've known her for a long time. She is an expert. So, Chris, thanks so much for joining us on the Ingles Information Aisle.
Well, thank you, Leah. It's been a pleasure.